Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to Radio Islam International. You're listening to the program Productive Muslima with myself, Sabeya Chauhan. Now, last week I did ask for suggestions on what exactly people would like to know more about, and I had a few suggestions. So one of them was, interestingly, the story of Musa alayhi salam. So today, inshallah, we're going to go through the story of Musa alayhi salam in depth. Inshallah, we'll try and finish it in time. Another thing was the social aspect of complaining, and what exactly complaints, how is it that we stop ourselves from complaining, and why is it that we do complain. So inshallah, that would be the next topic of discussion. And carry on sending me your suggestions on what you would like to know more about, or what you'd like me to speak about. It actually does make it easier, because then it's relative to what the listeners want to hear. So inshallah, without further ado, let's speak about the story of Musa alayhi salam. Now, to begin, Musa alayhi salam's story is mentioned 124 times in the Quran, and if you look at the story of Musa alayhi salam in the Quran, you would think that the Quran was almost going to be the entire story of Musa, because no other Nabi was mentioned so many times. And the reason for this is that the Ummah of the Bani Israel is the last Muslim Ummah before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Ummah. So the history of the Bani Israel is extremely rich with experiences, because they lived like very, very long. They committed many mistakes, a lot of conflict, etc. So we can use it, because we will fall into the same mistake. So it's very relative to us, and they're a lot like the Ummah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the nature of conflict of Bani Israel is similar to the nature of conflict of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Ummah. No other prophet fought against his people, right, because they were destroyed by Azab. And also the way in which they conducted themselves was very, very similar to the way we are today, which all the lessons, when we read the story of Musa, we should be able to implement many lessons into our lives today. So the Jews from day one are the ones leading the war till now, supporting the hypocrites. They're bringing people together to fight Islam, etc. Right? So this has always been the history of Jews. So Fir'aun at that time was so powerful that he thought that he was Allah. So he said outright, "I am the Lord of the world." And nobody actually refuted this. His people didn't refute this at all. So the people were divided into different classes, and that's how he dominated. So the Bani Israel were the lowest class in the time of Fir'aun. They were like right at the bottom, so they were taken as slaves, and they were oppressed. Atrocities were committed. So it was really, really bad at that time, right? When Musa alayhi salam left with them later on, they were approximately 600,000. So they were a lot, right? Now, what happened was, in this time, someone had a dream. And in this dream, they had seen, or actually it was Fir'aun that had the dream, he had seen that a man was ruling his kingdom, right? Overthrew him and ruled his kingdom. And that was the meaning of the dream. One of the things that he saw was that a light was shining from Jerusalem, and it swept through Egypt, and this light was destroying everyone except the children of Israel. And when he went and found out about this dream, the dream interpreter said that someone, a male, is going to rule your kingdom and overthrow you. So Fir'aun was distressed by this, and he immediately issued a warning, or he issued a commandment for everyone, every male, to be killed, and the female should live. So it was done every alternate year. So Allah says in the Quran that he wished to take them from the bottom and place them on the top, right? So the pregnant women were put under surveillance. As soon as they were pregnant, they were put under surveillance and immediately watched whether, you know, what this woman was going to give birth to, either a boy or a girl. Now, in this time, Musa alayhi salam's mother was pregnant with him, but she hid her pregnancy. So she tried and she concealed it so that nobody would know, and you know, they wouldn't surveil her. So at this time, she gave birth, and it was obviously very, very difficult to hide this, so, and to hide the child. So when she gave birth, Allah gave her ilham, right, which is inspiration, to put Musa alayhi salam into a river, and this river was the Nile. So she put him in this Nile, and remember, for any mother to take a child and place the child in such a violent current water, no mother will do this unless it was a commandment from Allah. So Allah said that sakal him, but if you fear danger, then throw him into the river. So Musa alayhi salam's mother then placed him in this little basket and placed him into the river, right? Obviously she was afraid what's going to happen to him, but she trusted that Allah will return him to her, because Allah said, do not fear or grieve. We will return him to you and he will be of the messengers. So she knew that at some point he will come back. So she had trust in Allah. But it is understandable. It's a mother. So you understand the emotions that she went through. So she breastfed him and she put him in this wooden box and she placed him in the river, right? And This is something interesting, is that we don't believe in Allah's promises the way people in this, the people with this type of iman believed, that they took Allah's word and they trusted in it completely. And you can't help but wonder, if you were commanded to do something like this, would you be able to place your child in a river? And so Musa alayhi salam's mother then placed him here and obviously sent his sister with, just to follow the basket and see wherever it goes, you know, just to know that he's okay. So the little sister then walked alongside this little basket, and she played and, you know, as she played and picked up stones and she watched where it was going, right? Now there's so many people's houses on this river, the entire Egypt. But where does this basket stop? It stops on the shore of the palace of Fir'aun. Now the whole reason that she put him in the box was to keep him away from Fir'aun. And yet, there he was, right in front of the palace of Fir'aun. Now this is because of Allah's will, obviously. Allah willed him to go there. And so now, the sister sees this and obviously informs the mother. And Asiya, Fir'aun's wife, sees this little basket, and when she opens it, Allah places this love in her, where immediately she's so attracted to this child, and she says, don't kill him, you know. So she takes him, the guards say, no, you know, Fir'aun instructed us to kill all these boys. And so she takes this basket or this baby to Fir'aun. And she tells Fir'aun not to kill him. And she says, you know, he will be a comfort for my eyes and for your eyes. And he may be of benefit to us and we may adopt him. So she shows him all of the positives. And obviously, Fir'aun is Allah makes him accept this, and he does. And he doesn't kill the child. So this child is now in this kingdom brought up by Fir'aun. Musa's mother in this time, her heart was empty. She was about to go out and, you know, start looking for him, but Allah strengthened her heart with iman, and nothing can fill an empty heart but iman. So Allah filled her heart with iman, and it kept her quiet. But she told her daughter to go and see what happened to Musa, right? So her daughter went, and her daughter informed the mother that they are bringing ladies to suckle Musa, but he refuses. Like, he doesn't drink milk from anyone. He constantly refuses. So, obviously, Allah didn't want him to drink from anyone else. And his sister went to the palace and says, goes to the palace and says that I'll bring someone who will breastfeed him. And look at how Allah works. When you have patience, Allah makes things just happen in a way that you would least expect it. So Asiya asked her to come to bring this person, and Musa alayhi salam's mother comes to the palace and breastfeeds him. So now they're paying her to look after her own child. Look at the result of taqwa. They're getting money to look after their own child, right? So Allah provides for you from sources you can't even perceive. The family had honor because they were looking after the son of their own, right? And in this, the mother gets to spend time with her child and suckle him, and obviously her provisions, her accommodation, everything is seen to, she's well taken care of because she's now looking after the son of the king, subhanAllah. So when you depend on Allah, no matter how weak you are, Allah protects you. So Musa now is living like a prince because he is in the house of Fir'aun. And it happens that Musa develops this stutter where he cannot speak fluently. He has a little bit of a stutter, so it takes him a while to speak, right? But when he attains adulthood, Allah gives him wisdom and knowledge, right? Now he grows up to be a man, dark skin, muscular, curly hair, and a very, very strong personality. So he's extremely rugged, well-built, strong in his beliefs, right? So he has these qualities. And one day now, he's obviously grown up now, and he walks into the streets, and the streets are empty, and he sees that two men are arguing, right? His personality, Musa alayhi salam's personality was such that if he saw a wrong, immediately he would intervene. So he sees these two men arguing, and immediately he intervenes. And there's two men, one is obviously an Israeli and one is an Egyptian. So Musa alayhi salam then supports the Israeli because he's getting beaten, and he pushes the Egyptian, but unintentionally some narrations say that he punched him or he gave him like a very hard push, but whatever it was, the Egyptian died. It was unintentional. Musa alayhi salam was extremely strong, so the Egyptian dies, and Musa alayhi salam realizes what happens, and he goes away, and immediately repents, and he repents to Allah he feels this remorse for what he's done, and nobody knows about what had happened. Now the next day he goes out again, and the same man is fighting with another Egyptian. So obviously it shows that the troublemaker is now the Israeli. So while they're fighting, Musa alayhi salam approaches them, and he obviously doesn't want to get involved, and he comes there to separate them, and the Israeli immediately says, or gets scared, and he says, "Are you going to kill me like you killed that guy yesterday?" Now, until now, nobody knew what Musa alayhi salam had done, right? Because this wasn't a normal issue, this was a political issue. Like, how can someone from a low class kill someone from a high class, right? It's an Israeli and Egyptian. So it becomes, this news now starts to spread like wildfire. Now remember, Musa alayhi salam is protecting who? He's protecting the Israeli. People who are oppressed for a long time, they sit and do nothing about it. So it makes them selfish and humiliated. And this is the type of people that Musa alayhi salam had to deal with, the Bani Israel. They were so suppressed that they had grown accustomed to this type of mentality, to not standing up for what they believed in, etc. So they lost their dignity and their honor, and in that they betrayed Musa alayhi salam by revealing the secret. So now what happens is Musa alayhi salam is now in trouble, in deep trouble, because now Fir'aun and his government, they start to meet together to discuss this. And obviously it's an issue of terrorism, it's not a normal murder. Musa alayhi salam, a Muslim had killed a non-Muslim, so it's become a big thing. And they take a decision to kill Musa alayhi salam. So immediately the order is given out that Musa alayhi salam must be killed, right? So one of the guards hear this and decide to tell Musa alayhi salam. So Musa alayhi salam now fears for his life, Now the guards of the palace are all after him. He's on the run. We can only imagine what this must feel like. You have absolutely nobody. There's a warrant for your arrest. So he leaves immediately out of Egypt, right? And in Surah Yasin, this man who stood for Musa alayhi salam, he's mentioned in Surah Yasin, the carpenter Habib Najjar. He's mentioned where he tries to stop them and he tries to give them da'wah, and they beat him until he's martyred, right? And obviously he tries to protect Musa alayhi salam, and Musa alayhi salam leaves immediately and just runs out of Egypt, and he has nothing with him. So he runs and until his shoes are cut, and then, you know, the shoes become cut, and then he runs bare feet until his skin starts to peel. There's like nothing. He doesn't have a conveyance. He doesn't have anything. He's just running and running and running because he knows that they're after him. So he runs just continuously, and his feet are scattered and peeled, and he's alone. He has no food. He has no friends. He has nobody until he stops and he reaches a place at Midian. And he just sits under one of the trees there. And around this place in Midian, there's wells everywhere. So he just sits under this tree. And he's extremely exhausted. He's in pain, right? And he's just sitting, and the whole, you know, the complexity of the whole situation is now, he suddenly starts to think about this whole situation. And you know, when you, after something happens, now you sit and you realize what has happened. And he sits there and he's totally, you know, alone. And he makes this beautiful dua. Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khairin faqir. Ya Allah, oh my Lord, whatever good you're going to bestow upon me, I need it. I'm a beggar to whatever good you have to bestow on me. Right? And this is an extremely powerful dua. It's such a powerful dua. Whenever you read this, you will see that Allah will place goodness in front of you. It's such a powerful dua. And this dua is the dua of Musa alayhi salam. And we can see that the dua, immediately it worked. And even now, try the dua and see that every time you read this dua, Allah will open up a way that you just cannot begin to imagine. And this is what happened to Musa alayhi salam. Immediately, when he saw this, when he read this dua, it wasn't even a day or a few, you know, a little while, and already he noticed that two women were standing, because it was a well, everyone was taking their animals to feed them. And he noticed that the men are pushing forward and going, and these two women are not getting water, right? And so he's wondering now, why is it that they're not going forward and feeding their animals, right? And as I said, Musa alayhi salam's personality was such that he intervened when he saw something. And so he saw this, and he immediately approached these women, and he asked them, why is it that they, you know, they're waiting, they're never going to get a chance. And then they said that, you know, they're waiting for all of the men to finish feeding their animals, and then only they going to go. Obviously, they were women, they had extreme modesty, they didn't want to go in front of the men, so they were waiting. And in this, it actually made them late, or you know, they had to wait the longest. So immediately, Musa alayhi salam took these animals, these sheep, he pushed past the men, and he filled the water, he gave it to them, and he sat down under the tree. You know, simple as that. And he obviously, you know, barely finished the dua when this whole thing happened. And these two women went back to their father. And many riwayats say that the father was Shu'ayb alayhi salam. Many scholars say that it was Shu'ayb alayhi salam. In any case, they went back to their father and they narrated this whole story that, you know, this is what happened. This man helped us. And he didn't need to, obviously, he helped us, he fed our animals, and he sat down. So the father immediately wanted to know who this man was, so he could reward him. It was obviously a very honorable act. And so the father then called for him, and both these girls went back to address Musa alayhi salam to call him, and they came walking very shyly. The one of the girls came walking very shyly and saying that my father is calling so he can reward you. This is mentioned in the Quran because of the haya. And this woman, her name was Safura, and extremely modest, where she came to call Musa alayhi salam. And she immediately, when Musa alayhi salam came with her, he walked in front of her and she walked behind him. And this was the moment of haya where they didn't interact at all, and the level of modesty was so high, yet no laws of hijab were out at all. And this was the level of modesty that Safura had. And so every time she would indicate for Musa alayhi salam to move right or left, she would throw a stone from the back towards the right or towards the left. And that is where, that is how Musa alayhi salam knew that which way he should turn. And like that, they reached Shu'aib alayhi salam. And he was extremely old, and that is why obviously he couldn't take the sheep. He was old. They said to Musa alayhi salam, our father is old. So Musa alayhi salam starts telling him the whole story. And this old man says, don't fear, it's safe here. Obviously he's crossed the border, so it's safe here. And so the daughter asks the father to hire him. She says, you know, he's strong, he's trustworthy. These are two qualities for the job. So the father then hires Musa alayhi salam to work, right? And the condition was that he basically offers his daughter's hand in marriage. Shu'aib obviously detected that his daughter was interested in Musa alayhi salam, and so he offers his daughter on condition that Musa alayhi salam works for 8 years, and he adds that if you want to do 10 years, then that's in your favor. So Musa alayhi salam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once asked Jibreel alayhi salam, for how long did Musa alayhi salam work? And Jibreel alayhi salam said, for the best part, which means that Musa alayhi salam worked for 10 years. So in this dua, Rabbi inni lima anzalta ilayya min khayrin faqir, look at how many good things emerged from this dua. That first, he had a place to go to for shelter, he had food. Then he had a job, a secure job for the next 10 years, and he had a wife. Alhamdulillah. So this is the barakah of this one dua that Musa alayhi salam made. So we're going to stop there and go for a quick ad break. And when we get back, inshallah, we will continue with the story of Musa alayhi salam. Stay with us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to the program Productive Muslima. So before the break, we were discussing the story of Musa alayhi salam, and we stopped at Musa alayhi salam getting a job by Shu'aib and securing a marriage and for the next 10 years. So Musa alayhi salam was a shepherd, and we know most of the Nabi were shepherds, because this was a very good learning curve, because when you take care of a flock, you actually understand and you have patience, especially with the type of people you are going to deal with. And Musa alayhi salam was going to, he's going to, this job is going to prepare him for the most difficult job of all, being a Nabi, and then going to Fir'aun, a family that believe divine blood is running through their veins, right? And then he's going to be leading a people that's the Bani Israel, a nation that's oppressed and mixed with so much of culture, so many ideas and traumas. So you needed to first train for this, right? Now in this time now, he works for this period, and now he wants to visit his family, his mother, his sister, his brother. So he goes now to meet them. And he takes his wife with. And it's a very, very cold night, extremely dark, right? He and his wife leave. And in the distance now, they need to stop. It's very cold, and they see a fire, right? So they decide now to stop. And, you know, they see it in the distance. They decide to stop. And Musa alayhi salam says he will go and see, you know, where is it coming from. He tells his wife to wait there. And he'll go and he'll ask the people at the fire, you know, for directions and all of that. So Musa alayhi salam goes towards the light where it's coming from. And as he gets near, he notices that this light is not, it looks like a fire, but it's a light, and it's making, the more it burns, the more the tree is becoming green. So it's obviously not a fire. And when he comes close, Allah Ta'ala speaks to him and says, Oh Musa, I am Allah, Lord of the world, so worship me. Right? This fire wasn't fire, it was light. Right? And so Allah tells Musa alayhi salam about the Akhirah. He tells Musa alayhi salam about Salah. And this is extremely a momentous occasion for Musa alayhi salam. So he starts to speak about Salah, and then Musa alayhi salam has to speak about his stick. Allah asks him to speak about his stick. What is it that you're holding in your hand? And so Musa alayhi salam says, this stick is for my sheep. I lean on the stick. I do things. He starts to talk about his stick. You know, he knows his stick so well. It accompanies him everywhere. So he starts to speak about his stick. And obviously he wants to go on talking because he doesn't, you know, he's so amazed with this being that is now speaking to him. So he starts, like, you know, rambling on about what the stick can do. And so Allah Ta'ala says, throw it. Throw your stick. You know, he knows so much about his stick, so throw your stick. And so Musa alayhi salam throws his stick. And as soon as he throws it, the stick starts to shake like a huge serpent. Musa alayhi salam sees this and he runs away without looking back. I mean, he knows the stick for years and he's never ever known it to do something like this. So he becomes so afraid he starts to run. And so Allah Ta'ala says to him that, come back, don't fear, come here, don't fear. And then Allah says, put your right hand under your arm. And then when he takes it out, it's white and it's shining like the moon, right? So he sees this and immediately now you know that this is something extremely special. And this is when Allah says, go to Fir'aun because he has transgressed all bounds. Now at this point, Musa alayhi salam was avoiding Fir'aun. Now Allah is telling him to go to Fir'aun, right? Musa alayhi salam was extremely strong, but he asked Allah for help. And he said, he made the dua, the famous dua, رَبِّ شْرَحْ لِي صَدْرِي وَيَسِّرْ لِي أَمْرِي وَحْلُلْ أُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي, where he says, Allah, open up my heart and my chest and make my mission easy and release one of the knots in my tongue. Remember, he had a stutter. So Allah accepted this dua and Allah then sent his brother Harun. His brother Harun was made a prophet because of his dua. This is amazing. Once Aisha radiallahu anha was going for Hajj and she heard people speaking, one asking the other, who did the biggest favor for his brother? And Aisha radiallahu anha immediately answered and she said, Musa, because he asked Allah to make his brother a prophet. Right? So that was the biggest favor. And this is where we learn a very interesting, a very important lesson on brotherhood, that we should help and assist each other. When brothers work together, they can achieve anything. And we see this in the story of Musa alayhi salam, right? So at this time now, Allah tells Musa alayhi salam now to go and tells him what his mission is. So now he needs to go back to Fir'aun, and you can imagine how distressed he must be to go back to Fir'aun. And he has the message from Allah to worship only one Allah, to perform salah, and to believe in the Akhirah. And so now Musa alayhi salam goes to Fir'aun to give him this message. And we can imagine Fir'aun, who's a tyrant at that time. He says, you know, he's absolutely appalled and he says, I raised you, I fed you, right? You killed one of our people and you are ungrateful, right? How can you come and talk like this, right? So Musa's response was amazing. He says, is this a favor you are telling me about when you enslaved the Bani Israel? What does that mean? That means the only reason that Musa was raised by Fir'aun was because of the oppression of Fir'aun. The whole reason that Musa alayhi salam's mother sent him was because she was afraid of Fir'aun. So it was no favor that Fir'aun did. It was nothing, no favor of Fir'aun. It was actually Fir'aun that had caused this whole thing. Right? So otherwise Musa alayhi salam could have been grown up in his own home. So So Musa al-Islam goes on to tell Fir'aun that at that time I was ignorant, now I know who my Lord is. So Fir'aun asks Musa al-Islam, who is your Lord? And he says, the Lord of the heavens and the earth and everything in between. And he's busy still telling Fir'aun, and Fir'aun interrupts him, you know, by trying to mock him and make a fool out of Musa. So he keeps, you know, interrupting him and asking him these questions. But Musa al-Islam doesn't get sidetracked. Right? He carries on and he says, he is the Lord of you and your forefathers. And now Fir'aun is starting to get really angry and, you know, saying Musa is mad, he's gone mad. But Musa carries on. He says, he's the Lord of the East and the West. This is da'wah. You don't lose the plot. You don't get sidetracked and then get angry and go into... This is da'wah. And he carried on. And so Fir'aun threatened Musa that he'll lock him up if he takes anyone else besides him as a god. So Musa alayhi salam asks him, what if I bring you signs? Right? And now he throws his stick and he changes to a serpent. So Fir'aun immediately accuses him of being a magician, right? And then accuses him of trying to overtake the government and kick him out, and obviously rejects the message, right? And then he tells Musa that he's going to call all the best magicians to overpower him. Right? Musa alayhi salam has chosen the day. He obviously chose the day of Zina, which is the celebration of the Egyptians, so that it would be a lot of people at that time and everyone can see the message of Allah. So he chooses that day. On that day, when Musa alayhi salam sees all the magicians from all the towns, there's approximately 70 magicians according to Ibn Abbas, right? And it shows that Fir'aun was definitely scared. So Musa alayhi salam tries first to give da'wah, and he says, this is a lie against Allah, you're going to fail if you continue. So he doesn't just want to show off, he wants to give them da'wah, so they try that first. So they discuss amongst themselves and they say, no, they're going to go ahead with it because Musa is a magician. So 70 magicians are there with all their equipment, and across them is Musa and his brother. That's all. So all these magicians on one side, Musa and his brother on the other side, right? And they ask who will throw first, and they threw first, the magicians, right? Now these are the best magicians the world had ever seen. Till now, we don't get to see magic like this. It's an illusion to your eyes. This was a different degree of magic. So the people immediately now, they threw their sticks, and the people that were standing around were so scared because, you know, of this illusion. And so Musa alayhi salam was also scared, but he was able to suppress it. This is what iman does, that you are able to suppress it when you have iman. So Allah removes that fear, and Allah removed the fear from his heart, and then Musa alayhi salam threw his stick, right? Now obviously his stick wasn't an illusion, it was a real snake. So this real snake ate up all their ropes, you know, theirs were actually ropes, it ate up everything. And immediately these magicians know that this is not magic, this is something real. They are magicians, so they know that this is definitely not magic. And when they see this, they immediately go fall into sajda and say, we believe in the Lord of Musa and Harun. Right? So immediately, this is what they immediately accept the deen. And a lot of narrations, a lot of scholars say that when they fell into prostration, that is when Allah had showed them their place in paradise. That is why their iman was so firm and strong, that they were prepared in a split second to die for the deen that they just discovered. Right? So immediately they say this, and Fir'aun is extremely angry, and he says, how can you prostrate without permission from me? Right? This is the type of control that he had over their lives. And he says, I will cut off your hands and feet, and I'll crucify you on the trunks of palm trees. Right? So, and then he says it's a conspiracy, that these people have conspired with Musa before they came here. Obviously, this is an open lie. Musa alayhi salam is there, and, you know, Fir'aun had obviously promised these magicians wealth, power, and position, right? So it was an open lie. He promised them this, and who is in their right mind would just, you know, let this all fall away, except if you truly believe in something, right? And now he threatened to kill them, right? And obviously, the reward of Allah is better than that. So they were willing to give up their wealth and they were willing to give up their lives. This is iman. If our iman is not like this, then our iman is weak. So these magicians died in the path of Allah, right? They sacrificed everything and they died in the path of Allah. And now when this happened, the evil advisors, right, the people that advised Fir'aun, they started inciting Fir'aun. And the chief asked, what are you going to do? You're going to allow Musa to do this to you? So, you know, Fir'aun said, we'll kill all their sons and we'll let their women live. Right? So when Israel now tells Musa, you know, we were suffering because of you. You know, that whole dream, they all suffered because of Musa alayhi salam. And they said, now we're still going to suffer because of you. Right? And Musa alayhi salam said to them, it may be that Allah will give you a victory over your enemy. Seek help from Allah and be patient. Right? And this was the type that Bani Israel was. They would see this, they can see the message. But it was very quick for them. The iman was like that, it was very quick for them to just falter. And so, more than anyone, they were given signs. Allah had sent them 9 signs in total, miracles that you could see. And still their iman was so weak. So Musa alayhi salam now said to them this. And obviously, Allah had sent tests upon tests. So Allah sent drought, right? When they didn't believe. And Allah sent drought, and when they were experiencing this drought and they couldn't take it anymore, they ran back to Musa and said, ask Allah to stop the drought. We will believe in Him. Please ask Allah. And then Allah removed the drought and sent them fruit. And again, they fell into the same error. So then Allah punished them with the flood. And then again, when they were going through the flood, please ask Allah and you will believe. And Allah removed the flood. And again they lied. Then Allah sent locusts. And it ate all the plants and trees and houses. And again, same thing. Allah removed it and again they lied. Then Allah sent lice and ticks in millions. It was in their clothes, in their beds, etc. It was all full. And they were so miserable, they went back to Musa alayhi salam, and again they broke their promise. And then it was the frogs, and the last was the blood. The blood was actually the last, the thick blood was the last of those signs, right? And so Musa alayhi salam had to go through all of this with this type of people. So at this time, Fir'aun said to his people, oh my people, this is all mine. Am I not better than this man who can't even speak properly? Right? Why then, if he's so great, why is the golden bracelets not on him? Trying to say, why do I have so much of money? And why is he so poor if he's such a great man? Right? And this is how we generally think of success. We think that if you're rich, you're successful, and if you're poor, you're unsuccessful, which can't be further from the truth. If that was the case, Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be the wealthiest of men. So we know that this is the furthest, yet we still judge according to wealth, even in this day and age. So this whole thing happened, and Musa alayhi salam now has to deal with this, with Fir'aun. And his people are obviously still very terrified of Fir'aun, and they need to leave, right? Because it's becoming very, very difficult to live under Fir'aun's rule. So Musa tries everything to call Fir'aun to Allah, and eventually all of the miracles are exhausted, and Musa alayhi salam then makes dua to Allah that, you know, he's using his wealth against Islam, so destroy his wealth and harden his heart. And after many, many years of Fir'aun's evil, now Musa alayhi salam makes dua against him. So Allah tells Musa alayhi salam to leave at night with the Bani Israel, and that's why their homes had to be marked. So at night, plus minus 600,000 fighters, plus women, children, and the elderly, these are people from the time of Yusuf alayhi salam, they all leave. And Fir'aun now comes to hear about this. He gathers a huge army, and he follows them. And now they run away, and they reach the river, the sea. And when they reach the sea, this is when it becomes really difficult because there's no way out. And they stop at the sea and immediately look behind them and see Fir'aun's people. And Bani Israel immediately give up again. And they say, you know, now what's going to happen to us now? Now we're going to become slaves again, and this is going to happen. But Musa alayhi salam refuses to believe that, because his trust in Allah is so great that he doesn't believe in what's in front of him. He doesn't believe that that's, you know, he sees the sea, but he doesn't believe that it's the end. He believes in the unseen, and he believes in the promise of Allah. So he trusts Allah. And Allah then tells Musa alayhi salam to strike the sea with his stick, right? And the water starts to spin and become like two huge mountains on either side. The basin becomes dry so they can walk through. And they immediately walk through, and after passing through, he tries to hit again, and Allah tells him not to hit there, not to hit the stick on, because obviously now Fir'aun is going to drown. And so Fir'aun tries to cross, and Allah now swallows Fir'aun and his people with this huge sea. And when this huge sea swallows them up, Fir'aun now tries to, to say Ashhadu an la ilaha, like quickly, because, you know, to protect himself. And at this time, Jibreel alayhi salam comes and stuffs this dirt into his mouth where he can't speak. And that is when Fir'aun is now, and his people are destroyed. And the body of Fir'aun is preserved for all nations to see and to take lesson, right? But most of us don't take lesson. So this is the ending, obviously, of Fir'aun. Musa alayhi salam goes on after this, and has numerous incidences with the Bani Israel, but it is at this point that the end of Fir'aun, the life of Fir'aun comes to an end, and the Bani Israel cross over, and they are free from Fir'aun. But obviously after this, new things come to pass. So we're going to stop there, inshallah, and I hope you have enjoyed the story of Musa alayhi salam. Until next week, Tuesday, fi amanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.